Mercury has played a role in human culture for thousands of years. It's the only metal that's a liquid at room temperature. People have long attributed medical or even magical powers to it, but its ability to harm the human brain has been known for more than 100 years. Probably the most famous example is the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland, mad because he worked with mercury. Scientists and advocates alike have sought to remove mercury from the food we eat and the air we breathe, so health workers in the Boston area were surprised when they found out that the idea of a beneficial mercury has persisted in some communities. Living on Earth, Cynthia Graber reports.
Seniors fill a community room in downtown Lawrence, Massachusetts, a former mill town about an hour northwest of Boston that's now 80% Latino, mostly Dominican. Doris Anciani heads up a local environmental health group called Casa de Salud that offers regular charlas, or chats, such as the one here today. At one charla last spring, Anciani spoke about the risk of mercury from incinerators and from certain kinds of fish. She mentioned that there's mercury in thermometers. After she spoke, another Casa leader approached her.
When she thought about that, she said, "Oh, I've seen something else that looks like the liquid that's inside the thermometer." And so we were asking her, "What is it?" It's in a capsule, and it's sold at the Botanicas. It's called azogue.
Botanicas are stores that sell all sorts of Afro-Caribbean products, rosaries, saints, candles, and perfumed water and herbs. Anciani discovered azogue is another name for mercury.
Then we came back to the Casa leaders, and they were familiar with the mercury. People use it for these purposes, and we're like, okay, we need to do more research here. I think we're not just being contaminated by the incinerator. I think we're contaminating ourselves by using this product at our homes.
Casa de Salud was founded by JSI, a group that does health research and training around the world. After their initial investigation, Anciani and her supervisor at JSI created a questionnaire to find out just how many people were using mercury in their homes. Community members, including teenagers, went around Lawrence talking to people at home, in botanicas, in beauty salons and barbershops.
We discovered that out of 920 people, 40% had used it or knew someone that used it. So it was very alarming.
Rosa Diaz, not her real name, reluctantly agrees to talk about her experiences with mercury. Diaz looks away and fidgets a little as she explains that she used to use mercury back in the Dominican Republic. I do remember once I put it on, like for 1 month, almost every day in perfumed water. All over my body, yeah. Diaz used it in other ways as well. And in the house, many people sprinkle it in the house. I used it in the house, too. Diaz doesn't want anyone to know she formerly used mercury. She stopped using it entirely when she moved to the U.S. 9 years ago. She says it just wasn't a part of her new life. Diaz only learned a couple of months ago about the damage mercury can cause. Oh, I wanted to die because that stuff, sometimes I tell people be careful because it really had a strong effect on me, because I really forget everything. I can be studying and I learned something today and tomorrow I don't know it. That could be from when I was using it back then. Scientists agree. The loss of memory she describes could well be due to the mercury vapors she inhaled. Many people have tales of playing with it as a child. The little balls of mercury roll around and vaporize. And it's just this attribute that causes problems. Touching mercury isn't really a concern because it's not easily absorbed through the skin. But these vapors pass into the blood and make their way to the brain. Symptoms of mercury poisoning include memory loss, irritability, anxiousness, tremors. Diaz used mercury for luck. But then she goes to the medicine cabinet to get out some face cream her sister brought her back from the Dominican Republic.
Mercurio oxide.
Wow.
Tiene mercurio esa.
Yeah.
She discovered just this morning that it contains mercury oxide, a form of mercury. And the use of the metal extends beyond ritual and beyond cosmetics. Most agree that the spirited music and dance merengue came to life in the Dominican Republic. Both are intimately woven into the fabric and culture of the island. Sunilda Peguero, another Dominican woman who lives in Lawrence, explains how the use of mercury is tied to the rhythm of the island.
Yo particularmente veía que las personas allá utilizaban.
I personally saw people there use that stuff. It's a country where, you know, where people dance merengue, and people say it gives you more agility to dance, especially in your hips, your whole behind. And that's what it was for. That's what we thought, that you could use it. That just the same way that mercury doesn't lie calm, in that same way people, when they use it and get in the groove, they can really move. I didn't have any knowledge that it can harm your body. I just didn't know.
Conocimiento del daño que hacía en el cuerpo. No tenía conocimiento.
Peguero was willing to talk about what she saw other people do. And Diaz was willing to talk about her personal experiences under an assumed name. But finding people willing to talk about using mercury here in the U.S. to outsiders is difficult. In part, it's because the use of mercury is also tied to Caribbean religions such as Santeria. And the religions themselves have been secret for hundreds of years. Steve Quintana sways slightly as he leads the prayers in his Boston home, which is also a community house of worship. This evening, the room is overflowing with people of all ages, from small children in their mother's arms to grandparents. Quintana is a santero, or a Santeria priest. The chants in the room harken back beyond Quintana's native Cuba to Santeria's roots in Africa. Santeria, along with other Caribbean and South American religions such as voodoo, was an adaptation to life under slavery. Quintana says slaveholders tried hard to change the traditions of their slaves.
They went through a lot of trouble changing our language and adapting us to their ways of living and put us into their own way of thinking and giving us their own religion. And eventually we was hiding our religion under the table with the saint on top.
Today, Santeria and its sister religions are alive and well in Caribbean communities and American cities. In addition to leading ritual worship, Quintana also acts as a healer. He says he works with nature's powers and with herbs. He considers mercury powerful, but he says he would never recommend its use because mercury is toxic.
That's the reason why I don't sell that, and I would not sell that.
Quintana says that people do come to him requesting mercury, but he insists that mercury use was never a part of traditional Santeria. Rosa Diaz had a different experience in the Dominican Republic, where she grew up.
The majority of the santeros tell you, use this for good luck.
Though the use of mercury hasn't been widely known in the U.S., it turns out a small group of researchers have been aware of its connection to Caribbean and Latin American communities. Linda Barnes is a medical historian associated with Boston University Medical School. She says slaves probably learned about mercury from their European slave owners and incorporated it into their own religions. Barnes explains that mercury was used in the U.S. and Latin America because of the strong reaction it produced in the body.
The core system was known as humoral medicine, and humoral medicine assumed that there were a number of subtle fluids that ran through the body that influenced both a person's temperament and personality on the one hand and their balance of health on the other. When that balance was out of kilter, physicians did things to try to rebalance it. Depending on the nature of the imbalance, you might let blood to reduce excessive heat. You might administer certain kinds of foods, certain kinds of herbs. And one of the things you might administer was mercury.
After Doris Anciani learned how mercury is used today in her community, she began creating an education campaign with JSI. They published a pamphlet in both Spanish and English that explains the dangers of mercury and suggests other herbs that might serve the same religious and cultural purposes. Anciani takes me to a botanica run by her former sister-in-law. There are bright turquoise walls and a heavy smell of scented candles. Marina Anciani stands behind the counter and points out some of the things crammed into the display and lining the walls behind her.
We have everything here. Candles, saints, books, perfume, soap, powders. But nothing to ingest. Nothing to take, nothing like that. Just stuff like candles, only things like that.
She says she hasn't sold mercury in years. Instead, her supplier suggested something else, a capsule filled with red powder. I ask her if using mercury is important for people who come into her store.
No, it's not important. Because if you don't use that, you can use something else. For me, that isn't important. Because there are other things you can substitute, like red precipitate. It's like a fine powder.
She tells me red precipitate is just a powder. 2 weeks later, lab results show it's mercury oxide. Scientists say this isn't as dangerous as liquid mercury, but they wouldn't want it around the house. Anciani's work and the handful of studies that have been done on the ritual use of mercury raise questions for healthcare workers and scientists.
As a scientist, I really would like to know the amount of mercury that's used for a given preparation and the frequency of use.
Donna Riley is in the engineering department at Smith College. It turns out that the Environmental Protection Agency recently convened a task force on ritual use of mercury, and Riley was the person who headed it up. They've even known that 85 to 90% of the botanicas in New York and New Jersey sell mercury. But Riley says that these availability studies aren't enough. She says though it's available, and though people know about it, she believes it's only a small segment of the Caribbean population that actually uses it. So now Riley wants more details.
I'm very interested in how much people sprinkle and how often they sprinkle and whether or not that mercury is ever cleaned up or if it stays in the room for an indefinite amount of time.
Riley says, though, that even if the mercury is cleaned up, remnants could stay in the home for years. Although it evaporates easily, it also recondenses and binds to clothing, to carpets, to pieces of metal. Once mercury has contaminated a living area, it's tough and extremely expensive to get rid of. This frightens Doris Anciani.
I mean, you move into a house, and you don't know if the person that was living there before was burning mercury. And here you are, bringing your kids into this new apartment. It's very scary.
This is of particular importance in a city such as Lawrence. Almost 70% of the housing stock is rental. There's a high turnover rate, and there is a chance that some apartments could have higher levels of mercury in the air. Scientist Donna Riley says she's conducted some studies of mercury levels in the air in hallways of predominantly Caribbean apartment buildings in New York. Though she hasn't seen anything alarming, she still is concerned. But health workers, scientists, and community members alike caution against panic. They don't want a surge of discrimination against Caribbean Americans, particularly from landlords. And they don't want government regulations that could drive the use further underground. Again, Donna Riley.
EPA has been criticized by some, really not community members, but other people who would like to see more action on this particular issue because they're concerned about the potential for contaminating housing stock and so on. People have criticized the EPA for not acting in a more top-down way. But I really think that the solution, if it's going to be an effective one, has to come from within the community.
Anciani agrees.
We need to continue to educate. We need to develop a big educational campaign and let people know that this is very, very extremely dangerous. I mean, if you tell a parent that this is going to affect their children, I mean, if I care about my kids, I'm going to stop using it, definitely.
For Living on Earth, this is Cynthia Graber in Lawrence, Massachusetts.